to lift our hands and give Him praise. Lift our hands and give Him praise.
You say,
we come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise. Now you say,
we come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
Give Him glory.
Give Him glory.
Give Him glory.
Give Him glory.
We come.
We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
Give Him glory.
Give Him glory. Give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
Let's do it again. We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. Come on, put your hands up. We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. Now you say it.
We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
One more time. We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise. Now you say it.
We come to lift our hands and give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
Give Him glory.
Give Him glory. Give Him glory.
We come.
We come to lift our hands and give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him glory. We come to lift our hands and give Him praise.
Clap our hands and send them to Judah. We come to clap our hands and give Him praise. Now you say,
we come to clap our hands and send them to Judah. We come to clap our hands and give Him praise. Give Him glory.
Come on,
give Him glory. We come to clap our hands and give Him praise. Give Him glory.
Give Him glory. We come to do our dance and magnify Him. We come to do our dance and give Him praise. Now you say,
we come to do our dance and magnify Him. We come to do our dance and give Him praise. Give Him glory.
Come on,
give Him glory. We come to do our dance and give Him praise. Give Him glory. Give Him glory.
Come.
We come to lift our hands. We come to clap our hands. We come to do our dance and give Him praise.
The greatness of the Lord is inconceivable. There's no one like
Come on, lift your hands in the building.
There's no one like you.
Lift your hands in worship. Lift your hands in worship.
Oh, Jesus. There's no
hallelujah.
One like you.
Somebody say hallelujah.
There's no one like you.
Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord.
Oh,
thank you.
Jesus? Did y'all come to worship him tonight? Aren't you glad that this is the end of 2020? Amen? Going into 2021, thank God for Jesus that we still here, we're still alive. Amen? The God that we serve, if he haven't done anything for you, he gave you salvation. Amen? He woke you up this morning. He's still a provider. He's still in charge. Amen? He can do everything, but he just can't fail. And we thank God for Jesus, amen. Thank God for just being out here tonight. We thank God for them starting us off with praise and worship. We thank God for all of you who's here tonight. We thank God for those who are watching virtually. We thank God for Jesus, amen. Thank God for Jesus. He's nobody like Jesus at all, amen. He is the only begotten Son. When you talk about the only begotten, he is unique. There ain't none like him. He's the only one. Amen. Right now, we're going to have a scripture reading coming from the book of James. We're going to be looking at chapter 4, verses 13 through 17. That's the book of James, chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. We ask that if you're able to stand in the reverence of God's holy word, amen. That's the book of James, chapter 4. And we're going to be looking at verses 13 through 17. And it reads, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city, and continue there a year, and buy and sell, and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. For that ye sought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live, and do this or that. But now, ye rejoice in your boasting, all such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin." May God add a blessing to the readers, the hearers, and most of all the doers of his holy word. Amen. We thank God for Jesus. Right now, we're going to have a testimony time. And we ask that about five people who want to testify of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. And we all know what a testimony is. Amen. And we're asking that the ones who give testimony that for the sake of time, that we're asking for no more than 3 minutes each. Amen. I know God has been good to us this year. God has brought us through a lot. And we have a lot to be grateful for. Amen. And we thank God for Jesus. And so we ask that if you have a testimony and you want to tell us what the Lord had done for you, we ask that you come forward to the front so that you can give your testimony. I know it's hard for some people to get up, to be the first one to get a testimony. But if God has done something miraculous in your life this year, and he has been good to you, you ought to tell of the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Would there be one? Amen. So,
to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the keeper of my soul, to our pastor, Pastor Rogers, to our officers, to Sister Rogers, to everyone assembled here and watching in TV, good evening. My life, for as I'm concerned, is a testimony, because he didn't have to let us live. He didn't have to die for us. He still would have been God had he never done anything for me. But because he is so good and so kind, he saw fit to die for me on Calvary's cross. Didn't stay dead. Knew I still needed him, not to just save me and walk off and leave me, because I still wouldn't know what to do, so I needed him to keep me. So he's done that. And at 52 years old, he's blessed me with 6 children. He's brought me through the military 22 and a half years. I'm still here. I'm retired. My back hurt, but he still allows me. I tell him every day, I try not to let the devil trick me and make me look at circumstances big and make them bigger than our God, because they're not. So my back hurt, and I thank him every day that my back hurt and I can feel the pain, because somebody's paralyzed and wish they could feel pain. So I thank him for just letting the back still move and work at 52 years old. I have no complaints. He's given me 12 grandchildren, 3 great-grandchildren. I have no complaints. And people ask me, hey, how's this thing going for you with COVID? I said, all I know is the same God, different day. I said, I'm not confused. Both starts with a C for me. I'm speaking for me. This is my testimony. For me, both of them start with a C, Christ and COVID. But I don't get it twisted, because the devil will make us get it twisted sometimes if we allow it. I tell him one has all power and the other only has the power that the other has allowed it to have. So Christ has all power. COVID only has the power that he's assigned it to have. It's only going to take who he's said it's going to take, and it's going to leave who he said leave. We have to trust God. I trust him. And my testimony is about God being able. God is. He takes me back when he deals with me. To either school, English class, military, or he deals with me in the yard, because I love yard work. So he deals with me in those ways. So he gets with me with these words, A and B. He makes the distinction between A family, B family. He deals with me this way. So when it comes to God is love, Jesus is Lord, he deals with me with that is. Is a present tense of the verb to be. That means 100 years from now, when somebody else says Jesus is Lord, he'll still be Lord. When I say now Jesus is Lord, he is Lord. When I say it, if he let me live to see 80, when I say Jesus is Lord, for me, he'll still be Lord, which means he'll be the ruler of my life and the ruler of COVID and everything else that pop up. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. We thank God for her testimony. We have another one. Amen, sister.
Hi, my name is Bronzella Kidd. To pastor and all the ministers on the pulpit and all our family, God bless you all. Just want to tell you about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Jesus is real. He's so real. He's real to me. No, I'm not perfect, nowhere near it, but Jesus is real. I had an encounter with Jesus about 2 weeks ago on Tuesday after the pastor had preached Bible class. And I had an encounter with the Father. Yes, it scared me, but I didn't have them before. But this one was so real, and he spoke to me so loudly. I can't tell you what he said to me because I still got to carry it out. But just to let you know that Jesus is real. He's so real. If you just let him in to your heart, to your soul, to deliver us and set you free and convict your own self, ask the Holy Spirit to show you you're wrong. Because the devil will let you think that you're right. When I was around there moaning, I'm tired of my husband putting these socks on the floor. The Holy Spirit said, pick them up. Pick them up. Pick them up. And this is what we have to do. We have to be convicted of our own sins. We can't do right without God. We got to have Christ in our life. He died for each and every one of us, not just for me, not just for you. He died for all of us, all colors, all nationalities, for the president too. He died for all of us. And we have to recognize that if we don't die to ourselves, we're going to hell. If we don't die to our own ugly, nasty, wretched sin, we're going to hell. And it's just true. God is real. That we showed us in the Bible how he took those people out of Pharaoh's hands and put them into Moses' hands. And then he showed you how the people got to go and give them water. Then they'll celebrate for a minute. Then they'll start whining again. Here we go. Whining again. Then here we go again. He delivered them. He gave them manna. They start whining again after the manna. It don't never stop. And this is what God is tired of. He said, turn from my wicked ways. I'm talking about me too. He said, turn from my wicked ways so we can turn to him. Christ is not going to, he'll help us if we want to help ourselves. He's not going to make you love him, but he still loves you. He's not going to make us serve him, but we still got to serve him. We got to be obedient to Christ and him crucified. Jesus did not go to that cross in vain. And I didn't want to take a long time to tell you that. Just plug into God. Press in. When the TV on, even the football, I like it too. Even whatever's on, turn it off. Have that time with God. Spend that time with God. He's not going to draw closer to you if you don't draw closer to him. He said, I'm waiting for my children to turn to me. I'm waiting for them to admit to their sin so I can help them. He can't help us in the rut that we're in now. God is not pleased right now. He's not pleased. He's allowing everything that's taking place if he didn't even ordain it. We have to get right with God and stop playing. Stop being Jezebels. Put it down. Put the broom down and be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wife like Christ loved the church. And I said, Christ loved the church. That's for all of us. We got to love each other. We got to be here for one another. Uplift our pastor. We got to help him press on. We're disciples too. We got a job to do too. Not just pastor. We all have a job. Where's your light? Where's your light? God bless you.
Amen. Amen. We have another one who want to testify about the goodness of the Lord, what the Lord has done for you. Amen, sister.
Praise God. I stood back there and I said I wasn't going to say anything, but God's been too good to me not to. In August of this year, I laid in the hospital with COVID. Couldn't hold my head up. Couldn't hardly walk. Couldn't hardly talk. I laid there, but I prayed, and I thank God I had something up in the storehouse.
Amen.
Because God listened to me. He heard my cry, and I'm walking right now.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. We have another one. Anybody want to tell of the goodness of the Lord, what the Lord had done for them on this year? I know that God has been good to us.
Pulpit guests and other members of the church. I came forth today to tell you that God is good. I had COVID for 3 weeks. And I live alone. And my two sons, one of them came in. He wouldn't stay out. He just kept coming. But he, in the midst of it, he told me, "Mama, you can't be in there by yourself." So I told him, I said, "I'll never be alone because God is going to heal me." I remember when Pastor said that God said, "Bring them to him and he will heal us." So I prayed and I prayed. It was over 30 people at my job had it. And God healed me. I didn't have all the symptoms that the rest of them had. They said, "D, it was the medicine." I said, "No, baby, it was God. He healed me." And I'm here to tell you, all you got to do is stay faithful to him. Whatever you need, he got it. Thank you.
Amen. 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 God is a healer, isn't he? God is good to all of us. One more. One more. I know you're out there. One more. One more. Anybody? Yes, ma'am.
Sister Jacqueline Burke, give it on to our pastor of ministers and to God. I kept sitting there. It was like the Holy Spirit said, "Are you going to move or not?" I just want to thank God for keeping me and my family through this pandemic this year. And the testimony is that he kept us. He didn't have to do it. And only God knows what he kept us from, what he protected us from. And we can't just sit down on him. We have to say, "Thank you, Lord."
Thank you, Lord.
Because he does not have to do it. And every morning when I give up, I say, "God, give us this day our daily bread." Yesterday is gone. We don't know what tomorrow will hold. But we know that God holds it. And he's telling us, "Trust me. No matter what comes, what happens, trust me. Don't listen to what the world is telling you. Trust him. Put your children in his hand. Put your husband in his hand, your spouse. And most of all, I don't care how much preaching we do, how much prophesying we do, Paul saying that last verse in chapter 12, 1 Corinthians, you can do all of it, but if you don't love, you're done it in vain.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Amen. We thank God for their testimonies. We thank God for them that pastor gave way for us to do testimonies tonight. Amen. We know that God has certainly been good this year. We can look around and we can survey everything that has happened and gone on, but we know God is still good. Amen. Right now we're going to have a song by our choir. And next we come back with you with our church mission statement. Thank you.
my soul. Look what the Lord has done. I can see so much. What the Lord has done. I can see so much. What the Lord has done. I can see so much. So much. What the Lord has done. You know He brought me here.
What the Lord has done for me, you know.
What the Lord has done, amen. How many can just see what He has done for you? Aren't you just thankful? Just thankful for what the Lord has done for you. It might not be what other folks around you have, but just be thankful. And we ought not just be serving God for what He do for us. We ought to serve Him for who He is, amen. We thank God for Jesus, amen. We thank God for our male chorus. Right now, we're going to say the church mission statement together. I know many of you might not know what it is. Some might, but they're going to put it up on the board for us so we can say it together. Amen. Yeah, this is New Bethlehem church mission statement. Pastor said, we're going to do the mission statement tonight. And I'm like, the mission statement? I mean, I knew part of it. I didn't know what it was, but thank God for Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, they had it on the back screen back there, but... All right. Well, we go right, move right along. All right. We'll all say it together. Amen. The New Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church mission is to know all about Jesus Christ and understand fully what he accomplished for us on the cross. We also desire to make those things known in the Bessemer area in the world. We are a mission-minded, soul-winning church for Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank God for Jesus. Now we'll have another selection by our choir. Amen.
Thank you. Father, we thank you again for bringing us to this closing day of 2020, to the dawning of a new year, 2021. We thank you, Father, for your amazing grace. It is your grace that has brought us, your grace that has taught us, your grace that's keeping us now, your grace that is strengthening us and allowed us to run on to see what the end will be. Thank you for your amazing grace and your marvelous mercies.
Yeah.
They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Father, your word says, if we believe not, yet you remain faithful because you cannot deny yourself. Thank you for your faithfulness. Your faithfulness to love us. Your faithfulness to forgive us. Your faithfulness to strengthen us and to provide and protect us. And to give us your power. Lord, we thank you for all things. We give you praise and glory. Because if it had not been for you, we don't know where we'd be. But because of you, we are alive and in our right mind. Thank you. Not only do we give you praise for our personal life, but we give you praise for blessing our families, blessing our friends. And Father, as we look around and think things over, all of our good days outweigh our bad. We won't complain. Instead of complaining, Father, we will celebrate your goodness. We will lift up your name in the earth. We will let the world know that there is a reality in serving a true and living God. We thank you for the praise and worship tonight, the singing of your song. Thank you, Father, for the scripture and the mission statement that we are mission-minded and soul winners for Jesus Christ. Thank you for bringing us through a tough, troublesome, turbulent year. We have been in a pandemic pretty much all of 2020. It's COVID-19 for a reason. But Father, you are God of the breakthrough. And I still hold your word true that if we come to you, we seek you, you're God who heals and delivers. Thank you. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you for the hearts of your people that heard your goodness. Thank you, Father, for your silent witness. Lord, we need you now. As I stand to preach your word, I need you to give me preaching power and preaching grace. I need you, Father, to strengthen my mind and my heart. Lord, take control of my tongue and order my words, that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, you are my strength. And you are my Redeemer. As always, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, for the anointing destroys yokes. Your people, Father, are heavy laden and labored, extremely weary and burdensome. But Father, you have sent your Son to come alongside us to help us deal with life. Thank you. Thank you. Give us your word now. Rhema. And as we stand to preach, you counsel out every stratagem and scheme of the enemy. That nothing will hinder your word from going forth. Lord, the grass withers, the flower fades, but your word stands forever. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, put your hands together and give him your worthful praises. God is good and he's worthy to be praised. He has blessed us to see this last day, last night of 2020. We're almost into 2021. And nobody but the Lord has kept us. And certainly he deserves the praise and honor. This night marked a year for my pastoring. My pastor. And I can attest that we've had a lot of trouble from without, but a whole lot of support from within. And I say thank you for your big hearts, your love, and your support and prayers. It has been a tough year for us, the Rogers family. In February, I had surgery. Lady Rogers had Trinity Joy. And she had surgery about 8 weeks ago. And but God saw us through it all. Amen. He saw us through it all. And you've had your share of obstacles and trials and tribulations. But I think we can agree tonight that God is faithful. God is faithful. This has been a wonderful year for us as a church. Although we have been tried and tested in various areas, we started out in full worship, and what a marvelous time we had for 2 months, right at 2.5 months. And then when we got into the month of March, COVID hit with all it had. But that didn't stop us. It didn't stop us. We haven't gone one Sunday without worship. God is with us. And we haven't wavered one bit in our giving. This has been a wonderful year, marvelous year. And listen, this is a celebratory time. I think this is a time of rest. It gave us much needed rest. We were so busy, doing a whole lot of nothing. We were just busy. Now we do what matters. Amen. We were doing a lot of this and that. And God had to settle us. And to really put things in perspective. So, wonderful year 2020. I'll never forget it. Never forget 2020. Almost 2021. Listen, there's a word from the Lord as we press toward the 12 o'clock a.m. hour. James chapter 4. Thank all of you for being here. Thank you, praise team, musicians. Thank you, male chorus. Amen. Thank you all for being here. Thank you, Environmental Safety Committee and volunteers. Thank all of you, members and friends, for being here. It's just good for us to be here. Amen. It's good for us to be here. Certainly to Reverend McCoy, Reverend Woods. I think they are the only two preachers here. Reverend Van. Yeah. Amen. Good to see you. Come on, give the Lord a hand. Amen. Amen. Good to see you in your life. Reverend Van. Amen. Let us stand for the reading of God's word. James chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings. All such rejoicing is evil. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Look at somebody and say, the uncertainty of our plans. Look at another and say, the uncertainty of our plans. Amen. The uncertainty of our plans. It is applicable for me to say that all of us make plans. Some realistic and others are not. Some righteous and others are not. Often we plan without consulting with God. I like to call planning without consulting with God foolish and wrongful planning. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Don't misunderstand me. That there's nothing wrong with planning. But it is foolish to plan without consulting with God. God does not condemn planning for the future. But he does, by way of his word, condemn planning presumptuously. Presumptuous planning is to plan rashly, audaciously, to plan with a big head, arrogantly plan, conceitedly plan. Simply said, presumptuous planning is to leave God out. Oh, do you plan? For some, you plan to get married. For some, you plan to have children. For some, you plan to buy a house. You plan to be retired at a certain age. You plan to gain weight or lose weight. You plan to get at church Sunday or be at church on Sunday. You plan this and that. But if you have not consulted with God, your plans may be good. But if you have not planned consulting with God, your planning is foolish. When we fail to consult with God, you conduct your life according to your own intuitions. and intelligence. You feel smart enough, intelligent enough to handle life on your own. Wait a minute. Solomon has something to say. He chimes in this evening or tonight in Proverbs 3:5. He says, don't trust in your own knowledge. He says, but trust in the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways go to God for counsel. That's what that acknowledge means. It means to go to God and consult with God. And if you do that, God shall direct your path. It is James, the brother of Jesus, who wrote this particular letter to the Jewish Christians who were scattered and living outside of Palestine due to the persecution. James' letter consists of both encouragement and rebuke. He encourages the believers to live consistently with what they have learned of Christ. He encouraged them to mature in their faith, to live the life that they speak about and talk about and they claim to believe. He says to them that you are children of God. You are to live as children of God. But then he gives a rebuke. He rebukes them for a certain sin. Sin like pride. Sin like hypocrisy. Sin like favoritism. Sin of slander. He rebukes them for sin. And here right in chapter 4. Verses 1 through 12, he encourages the believers to humble themselves before God. But then in verses 13 through 17, he rebukes all who think they can determine the point, the place, the period, the plans, and product of their business venture. He says, you think you in charge, but you better really consider the fragility, the fickleness, the frailness of life.
That's right.
You think you're in charge.
That's right.
You think you got it all together. He says, but you better really look at life and look around and see how life has dealt with other people, because what has happened to them is going to happen to you sooner or later.
Yeah.
You better look around.
That's right.
And grab perspective of what your life really is. He deals with it in verses 13 through 17. Here it is. James shares four things about the absurdity of presumptuous planning. Notice he deals, first of all, with the rebuke of the spirit of self-sufficiency in regard to the continuation of life.
That's right.
Verse 13, come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit. He makes an appeal to the worldly minded merchants and money makers. He says he appeals to the traders who carry their product to one country, to the commercial centers of another. The same traders might be found 1 year in Antioch, another year in Alexandria, following the year at Damascus, and the fourth year at Corinth. He says, you better look at your life. He rebukes them for their false
form of planning without taking into consideration the providence of God. Or even the uncertainty of human life. All of 2020, I heard people say, well, I'm coming back to church in 2021. All of 2020, people giving projections as if God can be put on hold. You hadn't stopped doing what you want to do. You hadn't stopped going where you want to go. Come on, talk to me. And people act as if the disease is only at church. You see her going to Wally. You see her going to the department store. You see her going to the clothing store. You're going where you want her. You're going to work. You're behind the mule. He gives a rebuke. He says, you better watch what you're doing. He says, you plan to be in this city and the next city the year after and another city the year after. He says, you better watch presumptuous planning. He says, you better give consideration to the providence of God or even to the uncertainty of human life. The providence of God means that God provides care for everything he has created. The providence of God not only means that God supplies all things, but it also means that God arranges all things according to his plan for his glory. Our life is in the Lord's hand. That's what you got to get to. Listen, you got to get to the point where you come to realize that your life is in the Lord's hand. We're not in charge of time. We're not in charge of today. We're not in charge of tomorrow. We're not in charge of our talents and treasures. We're not in charge of anything. Matter of fact, the Bible teaches that God and God alone is sovereign. He is in absolute control of everything. He does what pleases him, and in his providence works all things out for his glory and the good of his people. He is independent of his creation. No creature, no person, no nation, no spirit can either thwart his will or act outside of the bonds of his desire. God is sovereign. He gives a reinforcement to the rebuke. In verse 14, he says, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. The truth is only God knows what tomorrow holds or if there will be a tomorrow for us. We hope there is a tomorrow. We pray there is a tomorrow. We don't know for sure if there will be a tomorrow next week, next month, next year. Therefore, it is foolish for us to make plans without consulting with God. Jesus told a parable. Some believe it's a real story. Of a certain rich man whose ground brought forth plentifully. And the man thought to himself, he did not consult with God, he thought to himself, he said within himself, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits, he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. and there will I bestow all my fruit and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, thou fool. And you know you're a fool when God calls you a fool. He says, thou fool. Thou soul shall be required of thee this night. See, we know from what was told us our birth date, but we don't know our death date. Evidently, this man had money. He had riches. He went to the best doctors and he got a good bill of health. And then he went back and looked at all that he had and tried to figure out within himself how he could even get more. He started thinking on tearing down and building up. And never got a chance to carry out his plan. See, there's a rebuke for the spirit of self-sufficiency regarding the continuation of life. It is Proverbs 27:1 who says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring. Some leave home, never make it back. Most accidents happen within 5 miles of your house or home. Some wake up to fall dead. Never thought that day would be their last day. But listen, last day coming. He rebukes the spirit of self-sufficiency in regards to the continuation of life. Listen, I don't know how long I got to do it. I got to do it while I can. You don't know how long you got to do it. Listen, I don't know how long, how many sermons I got, you know, how many more sermons, how many more chances is going to give me to stand up and preach. When I preach, I'm going to stand up and preach. You don't know how many more Sundays he's going to give you to sing. You don't know how many more Sundays he's going to give you to do devotion. How many more Sundays he's going to give you to sit on the pew to say amen. Days he's going to give you to run into people that don't know Christ and you open your mouth to be a witness. But we feel we have it all figured out, and he rebukes us for the spirit of self-sufficiency. Watch it now. He deals with not only the spirit of self-sufficiency, but he deals with the realization regarding life. Verse 14, he says, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little while. A little time, and then it vanishes away. Life is like a morning mist that soon vanishes away. There are no certainties and guarantees about tomorrow. Now, you are not guaranteed tomorrow because you're young and healthy, spruce and spry. Life for the young and elderly is like a vapor We try to ignore the realization of life. But if you ignore the truth, you will not live your life properly in the light of eternity. One writer said, because life is like a vapor, we should humble ourselves before God and obey His will. The Bible says we should live every day as if it's our last. He deals with several things about life. First of all, he says life is fragile. Think about a mist, a vapor. He compares life to a vapor. Vapor is a substance diffused or suspended in air, especially one normally a liquid. Vapor is a haze, a mist, or smoke-like substance. It is not the strongest, but the weakest. A substance. James uses metaphoric language to relay the fragility of life. Life is fragile, which means that there are no certainties, and that the adverse events like illness, disaster, death can strike at any time without warning. You can feel on top of your game. On the mountain peak. And at the snap of a finger, you go to valley. David dealt with valley, dealt with green plus fields and valleys in the same psalm. We love the first of it, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. We like that. But we don't like to consider the second part of it, where we end up from a green field, still water type life, to a troublesome life in a valley, where enemies are. And he anoints us because there are pests. There's danger. We don't like that. So you can go from a plush green field to a deadly valley at the snap of a finger. That's how frail and fragile life is. You get up, get dressed to go to work just to make it to work and realize you no longer have work. No prior warning. Wake up to roll over to hug your boo, your baby. And your boo bathed and took flight. No lips to kiss, no eyes to look into. To say, honey, I love you. And at the snap of a finger, your life goes from a plush green field to a valley. I wish I had some help. Wake up in the morning. When you went to sleep, everybody in the house were doing fine. And you get to the kitchen table, and one of the members of your family complains about a bellyache. That's right. Just to discover that they have an incurable disease. That's right. The fragility of life. I can't hang out there too long because we're almost at the hour. But not only does he deal with the fragility of life, he deals with the fleeting of life. He said it don't last long. It appears for a little while. Boy, y'all won't help me. In other words, life passes quickly. Just yesterday, it was like I was 15. Do I have any help in the house? And now I look back from 45 and say, where have 30 years gone? Seemed like just yesterday I was walking across high school stage. Getting my diploma. You know, when you're in high school, you were wishing to be grown before time. Didn't want mom and daddy to tell me anything. I wanted to be 21. Now I wish I was Nicodemus. Can I enter a second time? Oh, to have some help in here. Into my mother's womb and be born again. I don't know where the time has gone. Wake up in the morning and it's time to go back to sleep at night. The day has passed just that swiftly and that quickly. Life is fleeting. It's hurrying to go. I'm trying to pull back the reins. It seems like the older I get, the faster it's going. You know, when you start setting little markers, Lord, I'm 45 now. 15 more years, I'll be 60. Lord, please let me get to 60. Get to 60. Lord, you gave Hezekiah an extension. If you give me 15 more years, I'll be 75. Lord, please let me get to 75. I'm just trying to get to 75. Get to 75. Lord, I know. I got the spirit like Abraham. When he went from 50 to 10. Lord, give me 15 more years. If you give me 15 more years, I'll be 90. Yo, am I the only one? That's why the intensification of celebration happens as we get older, because we know we have less than we've had before. Because life is fleeting. It's running faster than we want it to go. He deals with the rebuke of the self-sufficient spirit regarding the continuation of life. He deals with the realization of life, but then he deals with, we ought to recognize our absolute dependence on God. Life is subject to God's will. Life is subject to God's will. Notice what he said. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord will, we shall live. Number one, if the Lord will, we will be in life. But then if we're in life, God still has to give us permission to do this or that. He acknowledged God's absolute control, his dependence on God. Jesus acknowledged the same will. He acknowledged the will of God in his life and death. Matthew 26:39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless." How many of you got a nevertheless in you? Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will. This is Jesus talking. Paul acknowledged the will of God. Acts chapter 18, verses 20 and 21. When they desired him to tarry a longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, "I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you if God will." And he sailed from Ephesus. He acknowledged God's will. The anonymous writer of Hebrews acknowledged the will of God in Hebrews 6:1-3. "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, and laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptism and of laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permits." You have to recognize who's waking you up in the morning. Who's clothing you. Who's keeping a roof over your head. Who's putting bread on your table. Clothes on your back and shoes on your feet. Who's making a way for you out of nowhere. You got to recognize who's in charge. It is the last thing, and I'm finished. He deals with the rebuke. He deals with, we have to recognize. He deals with the risk of procrastination. Verse 17. He says, "Therefore, to him that know to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin." You know, you have to literally fight yourself to not obey. Let me give you an illustration. Some people are not here tonight. No, they had a place here tonight.
That's right.
And while they are somewhere else in their spirit, they're fighting not being here tonight.
Yeah.
You have to literally wake up on Sunday and convince yourself not to come.
That's right.
Because you know what's right.
That's right.
And listen, you will always accept the excuses you give yourself.
That's right.
You'll never have to go through a little procedure. I'm going to get on up and go on in. And then you get on the phone. You going? Start calling around. That's what happened tonight. Child, you know they're predicting bad weather. Like this the first time you drove in bad weather. It's supposed to be a lightning and thunderstorm. You going out there? No, I ain't going. Pastor could have did like he done on Christmas. We could have had another virtual service. Somebody say amen. Yeah. But James says you keep putting off. And procrastination is a sin because you only live in the now. Y'all miss that? See, you only live in the now, and every opportunity you miss in the now, you will not get it back. Let me see, can I close this? He says, therefore, to him that knows to do good, you know what you're supposed to be, you know what you're supposed to be doing, you know what God has upon your life, what calling, what ministry helps you a part of. He says, you know. And he says, but you decide not to do it.
That's right.
Let me give you something. I got to finish this. My God, I got so much to deal with. Listen, don't you know no one else can serve in your place? You say, well, we can just get somebody else. No, your gifting is like a fingerprint. Nobody has the exact same spiritual gift as you. And when you decide not to show up, your gift area is vacant. I'm preaching better than y'all saying amen. We live in the now. It's a risk to procrastinate. It's a sin to procrastinate, because salvation is right now. 2 Corinthians 6:2. The procrastination of delaying acceptance of Jesus Christ. For it says, the day is the day of salvation. What Satan will do is work with you and say, you know what, you got time. You got time. Just put off. You young. You got your whole life ahead of you. Don't do it now. He gets to working with you. And so Sunday after Sunday, you hear the invitation and you said, and you let it pass. Sunday after Sunday, you said, you let it pass for months, years. You let it pass. And Satan is setting you up for your demise and your destruction. He'll have you setting at a light or something, and have some sleepy 18-wheeler driver to swerve out of his lane to hit your car and kill you. And because you've been putting off Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and you never got it right with God, now you have to spend eternity away from God because you didn't realize that salvation is now. Listen, this is my last point. Serving God is now. John 9:4. Jesus was on his way to Calvary, and he said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. night come when no man will be able to work. Now, if Jesus acknowledged limitations in his own life, if Jesus said, I must, why are you saying, I might? Y'all just missed it, didn't you? If he's saying, I must, why are you saying, I might? That salvation is now, service is now. I'm finished. If you know to do right,
yes,
and you choose not to do right, that's a sin.
That's right.
So nobody have to call you,
that's right,
to convince you when you really got it.
Yes.
Nobody have to call you,
that's right,
and remind you when service is. Nobody have to call you and remind you of what you obligated to and what your New Year resolution is. Nobody have to call you and keep on being at you about what you said. When you understand that our plans are uncertain and our plans without Christ are presumptuous and foolish and wrong. It means now you submit to the will of God.
That's
right. Listen, I'm going to leave with this. And y'all have heard me say this before. We've been in a pandemic for a whole year. I'd say a whole year because it's COVID-19, which means that it was in 19. And I never stopped coming because I understood my calling. And my conviction is this. If I got on a plane and flew for 20 some hours to go preach to strangers, knowing deadly diseases were in the land, at the time I was driving 2 hours plus, I said, well, Lord, I'll drive 2 hours plus to preach your word. Listen, we have to have a case of a king ethics. You can't afford to delay your gifting and your anointing what God has called you to do. Listen, everyone to your feet. I couldn't even work up a hoop. Listen, everybody to your feet. Listen, consider life. Consider life. Consider where you are. As you're going into a new year, we have entered into 2021. There's some things you need to lay aside, get rid of. Every year, like God is peeling things off of me. It's not like Him. And I'm getting more and more determined as I draw closer. And that's what ought to happen. We ought to run faster to the finish line. And to run faster means that you have to insert more energy. You have to press. Because fatigue sets in. Lord, I'm trying to make 100. 99 and a half. Well, dude, there's some things you got to pull off. You got to let go. Some company you got to sell. Some people you got to leave behind. Lord, I want to do it for your glory. Listen, we're going to have a prayer of thanksgiving after the invitation.
If I'm talking to you, I want you to remain standing. Lord, I need some change to take place in my life. I got to get rid of some stuff. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm tired of struggling. And I know my struggles are caused by my own disobedience. My pains are self-inflicted. They're self-inflicted. I'm doing this to me. And I'm not going to blame anybody else. I need to get right with you. Listen, first of all, if you're here, you're not saved, come, give the Lord your life. Don't leave out of 2020 and enter into 2021 lost. I want to be saved. Secondly, I want to be restored. Lord, I need my vitality. I need my strength. I need you to rebuild, refocus me, re-energize me. Thirdly, if you're here in need of a church home and the Lord has laid this church on your heart, come, 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 come. If you're in need of prayer, remain standing. Remain standing. Not only do I want you to pray for yourself, I want you to pray for those who said to you, when you pray, pray for me. I want you to pray for people in your neighborhood who's lost. People in your neighborhood who's sick. People in your neighborhood who's financially strapped. They're at the bottom. They don't know how they're going to make it. You see their worry. You see their stress. But tonight I want you to be real. And I want you to intercede for them. I want you to pray for those who have lost loved ones in 2020. To COVID. To cancer. To diabetes. Hypertension. Homicide, accidents. I want you to intercede for them. I want you to pray for some wayward child who's everything but obedient. In and out of juvenile courts. Running with the wrong company. Parents tried their best to bring them up in church. And their friends, their peers have more influence on them than their parents. And they decided to live their life totally against what mama and daddy or mama has taught them. I want you to pray for that child or those children. Listen, I want you to look around. Look next to you. And pray for that person you're looking at. You don't know what they brought in here tonight. You don't know what their struggles have been in 2020. You don't know how many people in here with low self-esteem. Some people who are struggling in their hope and their faith. You know, if we would be honest, we don't always feel strong. We don't always feel on top. And it's all right to admit that now and to confess that. I ain't got it all together. If walls could talk and doorknobs could tell. We can admit that tonight. I'm having problems in my family. And I need prayer. That somebody work tonight.
but I'm down to my last. You don't come through for me tonight. Lord, I don't know if I can even face tomorrow. If 2021 gonna be like 2020. Lord, help me. That's somebody's cry. I've taken all I can take. I'm about to do something I regret for the rest of my life. Lord, come through for me. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I thank you. We thank you for reaching the inward part of us. For your word has searched our soul, has convicted us. That, Father, we've been trying to do this thing without you. We have not consulted with you in all our plans. Father, now we know why our plans have failed, because we have tried to do it on our own. Our business plans, our family plans, our marital plans, the plans we have for raising our children, the plans we have, Lord, for building a house or purchasing a home. Lord, our plans have failed because we have tried to do it without you. Now, Father, here we are, standing before you with arms up, totally surrendered to you. We ask you to take control. Be in your rightful place. You are in charge. You're God, Lord of our life. Lord, we seek your desire. We seek your will. We say yes to your will and yes to your way. We're tired of being failures because, Lord, without you we fail. But with you we can do all things. Lord, I want to see the scripture lived out in my life. I want to be a conqueror. What got me in 2020 is not going to get me in 2021, because I'm a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm not going to hold my head down. I'm going to hold it up, because I'm more than a conqueror. You made me to be somebody. I claim every promise. I stand on your truth. In Jesus' name. Forgive me for doubting you. Forgive me for disrespecting you. I thank you for 2021. Hallelujah. Lord, we made it through a year of trial, tribulation, and turbulence. Lord, we made it. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. We lift up our voices and we shout out tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Thank you. You're good, God. Thank you for health and strength. Thank you for healing of our bodies. Thank you for keeping our minds. Thank you for making a way out of no way. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Come on, put your hands together and bless it tonight in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Every heart say amen. In Jesus' name. Come on. The choir is going to give us a song, and then we'll give benediction. And then Brother Jesse will give us our marching orders. Come on, choir. Come on, put your hands together one more time. Before his presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God our Savior be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
For you all say.